Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording and we're continuing the talk about the Sharia, that Sharia is too harsh because it cuts the hands of the thieves and it cuts the neck of the murderer. And last time we talked a little bit about that. And the first thing we said, why are you so worried about it? You don't have any plans to kill and or to steal. Okay? So that is the first response. You shouldn't be worried about that. You're not going to have it. However, some people still, like human rights people who are concerned about it, even though they are not bad guys, this answer is not good for them. Then we go to the next answer. What is the next answer? The next answer is that there are two kinds of justices. Justice to the favor of the criminal and justice to the favor of the victim. So there is justice. There is one. One justice is to the favor of the criminal. And another justice to the favor of the victim, or the current victim and future victims. So, what are these? What do we mean by that? Sometimes justice favors the criminal, and that is bad. We want the justice to the favor of the current victim and future victims. How? By cutting one hand, you're preventing millions of theft crimes that could happen in the future. So that is going to be justice to the future victims. We want to be fair to the future victims, right? Sharia is in the favor of the future victims. We don't want future victims. We want to eliminate future victims. You got it? So this punishment has to be so strong that it will scare criminals. Okay? So the purpose is to scare criminals. Sharia, the purpose of harsh punishment is to scare criminals. And stop them from hurting people. From hurting others. So, I want the criminal to say it's not worth it. That is, we want the criminal to say it is not worth it to steal. It is not worth it to kill. Why? Because that criminal is going to worry about his hand. Okay? So we want the criminal to say it's not worth it. We want the criminal to say it is not worth it. It is not worth it. So, if we don't apply Sharia, then what happens? When we don't apply Sharia, then the people who are the victims So here's victims are more than criminals. Victims are more than criminals. In the Sharia, criminals are more than victims. You see the logic here? The logic is, if I have a room and get the disabled people because of crimes in the United States, for example, which does not apply Sharia in this particular issue. The United States applies Sharia, 90% Sharia, but they don't know it. It's funny. They talk about Sharia and they don't know that they are applying at least 90% of Sharia in their laws.
When you say are more than, is it like more important?
Or? No, more in number.
Okay.
So one criminal will have hundreds of victims because this criminal is not scared. Because this criminal doesn't think it's not worth it. This criminal is saying, what am I going to get? Go to jail? I've been to jails. And jails to teach the Muslim prisoners classes and to give them khutbahs and to pray with them and to bring them iftar and Eid food and all of this. Prisons are 5 stars, honestly. 5 stars prisons. Really nice food, nice, really nice. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's much nicer than what they have outside. You see? So I was like, wow, this is 5 stars. It's not like Egypt or like back home where the prison is really an awful place. So here is the problem. The problem is that victims are not scared. Victims will do it again and again and will do more and more because they are not scared. But in the Sharia system, criminals will think twice before doing it. If they do it once, then they will be even scared to do it the second time. Even if they do it 2 times, they will be too scared to do it the 3rd time. You got it? The risk is too much. So I want criminals to say, the risk is too much. It is too much risk. It is too much risk. Okay, that's why. Why is that? Logically, let's now bring it from a mathematical point of view. From a mathematical point of view, so I'm going to convince you mathematically that Sharia, or having harsh punishment, is better. People have been debating about this. Some people say, no, we have to be kind to criminals. They are victims themselves. And it is so funny. Sometimes people, well, we'll talk about this later. So what we want mathematically let's say in no Sharia, the cost of being caught of committing crime is, I'm just going to use dollars, just to give you the numbers, is $10,000. Okay, that's compare this. Here, in Sharia system, the cost of committing a crime is $1 million. $1 million. Right? Let's say that. You agree with this? We say that Sharia is harsh, right? So you commit a crime, it will cost you $1 million. There you commit a crime, it costs you $10,000, right? I said $1 million is because your hand is cut. How valuable is your hand? Yeah, it's really, really $1 million at least, right? So here we go. Now, the probability of getting caught, how likely it is to be caught. So we put here the risk of being caught. Risk of being caught. Is 1%. Is 1%. Let's say the first time is 1%. The risk of being caught is number of times, risk. So, one time, let's say the risk of one time is 1%. Two times, it is 5%. Three times, it is, let's say, 10%. So forth until many, lot of times, lots of times, that the risk becomes 100%. Do you agree with this table? Do you agree with me? That the risk of getting caught increases with the number of times you commit a crime. If it's one time, it's 1%. If it's two times, it gets 5%. Three times, maybe 10%. Okay? Many times, for sure, you would be caught. You know, you would be caught one way or another if you do it many times. There's no way you can keep getting away with your crimes. I mean, unless you live in some kind of an awful place. You know? I mean, to leave a chance, let's say, let's make it 99%. Just to leave a room for 1% that can evade being caught. Like, they get away with all the crimes they did. Just, it's unlikely, so let's make it 99%. So, then, cost of the crime in no Sharia. So, cost of crime, no Sharia. Cost of crime. Okay, here we multiply 10,000 by 1%, we get $100. See how it's much as tempting? What is the cost there for the first time? It will cost you $100. You know why? Because I multiply the risk by the punishment. You got it? You understand? So now, what is the risk of committing a crime the second time? It's 10,000 times 5%, which is going to be, 5%, $500. So to do it again, you think, because now, you know, it is it is increasing possibilities. Three times, it is 10,000 times 10%, so the cost is $1,000. You know, 99% cost is almost $10,000. Do you understand? This is how people think of the crime. They don't think of the reward. They think of the reward and the risk of being caught. If you study criminology, if you ever study criminology in school, they will tell you a lot about that. You see the idea here? So now...
There is such thing as criminology?
Yes.
What? This
is specialization. You specialize in criminology and you work with whatever FBI, law enforcement agencies, and detective, and all of this. And people who study criminology are very clever in catching criminals. Much more clever than... and because they know what goes... They read the mind of the criminal. So, no Sharia cost of crime, and then Sharia cost of crime. Look now how much it's going to cost. Take the $1 million, which is cutting your hand, multiplied by 1%. So here is $1 million times...
That's 10,000.
$1 million times...
It's 10,000.
What?
10,000. It's
10,000. What are you talking about?
Cost. 1 million times 1% is 10,000.
Oh, yeah. Times 1% is 10,000. That's the cost of the crime. So, if it will cost you $100, it's worth it. If it will cost you $10,000, it's not worth it. Now go to the repeating the crime again. Look at the cost of repeating the crime again. It's 1 million times 5%, which is equal to what? $50,000. Now for doing it three times, it's 1 million times 10%, which is equal to $100,000. Here, it's $1 million, which you might lose your hand, or get killed. It's $1 million. Look how much your hand is worth. You tell me how much is your hand worth, and then how much is getting killed, losing your life worth, if you commit murder. It is really very good. There was, in Saudi Arabia, in the past, before King Abdulaziz started enforcing Sharia, there was a lot of killing and stealing between people. Once Sharia started to be implemented, the execution, or cutting the hands, it must be done in public. They go to the...
Oh, sorry. But in Bangladesh, it's like now they're like trying to hang or like... They're trying to hang this one leader or whatever.
It's because he held... It's, okay, well, there's a Pakistani city right next to me, so there was a war. And, yeah. There was a war with Bangladesh and Pakistan, and the Bangladeshis that helped our enemies... get all our information. There's a big like thing going on where the Bangladeshis now want to hang those people because
they are traitors.
Yeah, because they're traitors of the country. But like, I don't know. I think the prime minister doesn't want to because, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she's trying to say.
Right, I got it. But you know, I would say that killing. The punishment for killing can be implemented right away. But the punishment for stealing has to be gradual. You understand what I'm saying? the punishment for stealing has to be gradual. Why? Because the poverty, level of poverty right now is so high that people are cannot stay away from stealing.
The level of what?
Poverty.
Oh.
People are so poor. At the time of Umar, this is not my opinion. At the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, there was a time where there was a drought and there was a lot of poverty around. He stopped the cutting the hands of the thieves. He stopped it. Why? Because a lot of people will steal to eat. So he made it just a not a hand-cutting punishment. He made it a harsh punishment, but not losing the hand. Okay? Now,
Aladdin, how
he... Oh, yeah, they say if they don't like you, they cut your hands. I mean, this is crap. This is the stereotype.
No, she stole an apple.
And then
he's like, oh, you know, the punishment for thieves.
Thieves. And then, like, what they did, I was reading this book, there's a lot of stereotyping in the movie, because, like, the people with the beards and the, like, suits and the Middle Eastern accents were the bad guys.
Yeah.
And then, like, the light-skinned people that were, like,
the
like
good
that
guys
weren't even covering their bodies and that were like
the good
American
guys
accents were the good guys.
Do you remember the
what?
Song at the beginning of Aladdin movie?
Oh, I
came from a land, if they don't like you, they cut your hand.
Yeah.
I think that's
just
song
the
is
beginning.
Really, really funny.
It is you're not noticing. There's a poison inside it.
I know the
they
I
are spraying.
The, but like the bad guys, the guy with the beard and the hat and
now,
the
wisdom comes in. Wisdom comes in. If somebody steals an apple, you don't cut their hands. You really want to cut the hands who? Of the rich thief. The rich thief. This is really, really what you want cut the hands off. You really want to cut the hands off the rich thief. Why the rich thief? Because the rich thief doesn't have a motive to steal. If he's stealing, then he's stealing really out of... He's really a criminal. He's honestly a criminal because he has no need to steal. And the rich thief, when the rich thief steals, he steals or she steals millions of dollars, right? The poor thief have a reason to steal. So he has or she has a pressure to steal. And when they will steal $1,000. But the rich thieves are the ones that you really, really, really want to cut their hands. Honestly, honest to God, they deserve both hands to be cut. You got it? All right. Now, so if I commit a crime and I see the cost is too high of the crime, it's too high, then I will say, okay, this is the cost. How about the gain? What am I gaining out of this? I am committing a crime. What am I gaining out of this crime? Remember that you compared benefit to cost ratio. See the math working out. So now, the benefit to cost ratio, or actually you can put it here. This one is high.
When was Aladdin released?
1990. 1990 something, yeah. High cost to benefit ratio, and this one, low cost, I'm sorry, low cost to benefit ratio is here. Here, low cost to benefit ratio. Actually, that should go over there.
Lol. Too fast. Ratio. It is worth the risk. A high benefit to cost to it. This is low benefit to cost ratio. It is not worth it.
Okay. So you can see the merits. Do you see the merits? It's benefit. I mean, it will be fair to future criminals. It will really be fair to future criminals because, future victims. It will decrease future criminals and future victims. Now, the punishment is done in public. So you bring the criminal in public, like here would be downtown of, like the stadium, and then you bring people in, and then you bring prisoners in, okay? Or, like, let's keep the prisoners at prison. You bring people in, and you do it, broadcast it on CNN, okay? Showing the guy his hands have been cut. This will scare the heck of anybody.
Make an example.
Exactly. It will scare a lot. So the number of future criminals will dramatically decrease, and the number of future victims will dramatically decrease. I'm sorry?
In class, people don't pay attention. The teacher, when he asks a question, he picks the people who aren't paying attention to make an example.
That's so annoying.
Yeah. But yes, exactly. Yeah, something like that. But it is to scare future criminals.
Wait, I have a question.
Anybody who's thinking about it is going to say, no, it's too much. Huh?
So I don't see why people say that Sharia law is so harsh because, like, in England, they used to have even worse stuff.
Yeah.
Like, gosh, the guillotine.
They used to have, like, if they would, like, cut your head off and, like, put it on a
shooting
pole.
Squad.
Or
yeah.
A cross. This is what they accuse Islam. They say Islam is a medieval religion that was good during the Dark Ages. At the same time where the Europe was doing that, but now we're civilized society, we shouldn't. And this is the catch here. This is a fallacy. Why? Because I want to scare criminals. I want to decrease the number of future criminals and future victims by scaring, by publicizing it on CNN. So people will be scared.
You're
and
historically correct. During the Middle Ages, the only people who got guillotined were people who were slightly related to the king.
Revolution
going on, you get guillotine for sure. You're a poet, you get guillotine for sure.
Yeah, and then
torn feathers. But not necessarily criminal, just anyone who's related to
the So, Sharia decreases future criminals and the number of future criminals. Sharia decreases the number of future criminals future crimes and future victims. So people, sometimes they don't see this benefit. The merits are so high. There is something else that Sharia, the punishment is controlled by wisdom. Is controlled by wisdom. So, poor thieves during the time of bad economy, poor thieves during the time of bad economy during time of bad economy are exempted. Like what happened at the time of Umar. It was a bad economy, it was a drought, it was poverty. So he said, okay, poor thieves are exempted from cutting the hand. How about rich thieves? Rich thieves have much less motive Rich thieves are have less motive, much less motive to steal. Therefore, they get harsher punishment. Just like a guy who is full stealing food. Oh, come on, you're full. You have no need. You're stealing just because you have a criminal soul. Like, you're criminal in nature. Your nature is criminal. Okay? Now, also, rich thieves or elites are not exempted. Are not exempted from laws, from Sharia laws. The Prophet Muhammad said, if my daughter Fatima steals, I'm going to cut her hand. If my daughter Fatima steals, I will cut her hand. See, he does not, he said, even my daughter is not exempt from this. My daughter, if my daughter steals, I'm going to cut her hand. No exception. Okay? So it is bad to apply Sharia. Like right now, for example, in a country like Saudi Arabia, they apply Sharia, yes. But they don't apply Sharia to the royal family and the rich, powerful people. And that's the corruption here. That's wrong. So they apply justice unfairly. They apply fairness unfairly. Or they apply justice, okay, in injustice way. They are doing injustice to justice. You understand what I mean? They're doing injustice to justice. Injustice to justice means that they punish the poor and they don't punish the rich. While you might ask me and say, which one do you prefer? Do you prefer applying justice? The ideal situation is to apply justice fairly. Okay? Is to apply justice using justice. Is to be just in applying justice. You got it? So, when we say be fair in applying justice, what does that mean? Justice means apply justice to rich and poor, strong and weak, etc. That is to be fair in applying justice. Be fair in applying justice. The second way, unfair in applying justice, means apply, instead of saying justice, let's say apply Sharia. Means apply justice to the poor only. Now, the third situation, be fair in applying injustice. Be fair in applying injustice means apply laws, apply man-made laws equally. And the fourth case is what? Apply injustice or unfairness, unfair in applying justice. You see the possibilities here? Okay, four. Being unfair in applying injustice means applying man-made law unfairly, to poor and weak only. This is the example. The example here is Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia. The example here is the United States.
The example of this is
like Syria or former Egypt.
Because now Egypt is better, getting new president, being trying to, you know, trying to be fair. And this is the ideal Islam. You got it? So you can see that neither, in my opinion, okay, it's debatable. Which one is better, two or three? What do you think? Let me take a survey here. Which one is better, two or three? Like in the United States, where they apply the man-made laws
justly. Justice doesn't mean fair.
Huh?
What do you mean when you say justice?
Sharia laws.
No, justice doesn't mean like laws. It means like laws.
Okay, apply Sharia. Let me make it more clear.
Laws and apply laws. Justice,
how about that? And applying justice means apply Sharia to the poor and weak only. Means apply man-made law, and here apply Sharia. The ideal situation is to apply Sharia to everybody. Okay? Now, there are four situations. Number four is bad. Nobody would argue about that. Would you argue that number four is the worst? Nobody would argue about that. But these two and three, which one do you think? I'm having a hard time deciding.
Which one is better,
which one is worse?
So I don't get what number three means.
Number three is you apply man-made law, but equally, just like United States. It's a man-made law. But it's applied equally to everybody. Now, two is to apply justice, means apply Sharia to the poor and weak only.
Three.
Let's take votes here. What do you think?
Three.
Three? Huh?
Two.
Two?
Three.
Three?
Three.
Three? Okay. I vote for three, too. You know why? It's better. You know why I vote for three? Because, you know, two, you're hurting Islam itself. Why? By pretending to be representative of Islam, and at the same time, you're being unfair. You only cut the hands of the poor, you don't cut the hands of the rich. You got it? So, why? I would say this one, in my opinion, is better. This one, I would say, is worse. And this one is worst. And I'm glad that you guys agree with me about that, because that's what I thought. Yes, in Saudi Arabia, they hurt the image of Islam. Why they hurt the image of Islam? They say, we're applying Sharia. And when you look deeply into their system, you find that they only pick the poor and the weak to apply Sharia only. Then you start cursing Sharia. You say, you think you will be deceived. By the naked eye, you will be deceived. But United States, you're saying, it's not Islam anyway. But the laws are applied to everybody, so that's fair. You know? That's fair. The laws apply to everybody. But by the way, just United States... the laws does not apply to everybody. There is a discrimination in applying the laws.
To who?
There is discrimination. Muslims are treated differently. Muslims are expected to give up the rights more. Muslims are expected to be beaten up and don't cry, to be oppressed. Yes. The laws, for example, the Patriotic Act, it means that they can spy on you without getting a warrant. The National Defense Authorization Act means they can get you, give you a lifetime sentence in prison without an evidence, without a court order, and without trial. National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA. Well,
it's a habeas corpus.
Habeas corpus means that you have to have a reason to throw someone in jail. They suspended them.
Yeah, so.
For Muslims only?
No. Well, they say for the ones they suspect has anything to do with terrorism. Guess who's going to be the one who's suspected? A Christian? Or an atheist? Of course a Muslim. So they can land on your father, and they can take him, put him life sentence, no evidence, life sentence, no trial, no due rights, no due process at all. Isn't that discrimination? Laws, it's best.
Let that happen, or did
it passed. It passed. Obama is fighting it. Obama is freezing it. But guess what? What will happen when a Republican guy comes to power? It will open it. He will open it. So Muslims are expected to give up their rights. So you don't have a right of a due process. Like criminals, if you kill, you have the right to have a trial.
What if you're a
citizen? It doesn't matter. This is American citizen inside the United States and outside the United States. Go read it on the internet, National Defense Authorization Act. And it passed. So here's Muslims, criminals, if you have a criminal or a rapist or an awful person, this person is given the right of a fair trial, right? But if you have a Muslim, okay, this Muslim is not given the right of a free trial or even seeing an evidence. They can just land on you, put you until your death, lifetime sentence in a prison for no evidence, no reason. I mean, for no evidence and no trial. You got it. Do you know what I'm talking about? And at best, do you know that this best? By majority in the Congress?
Well, most of the Congress is Republican, right?
Yeah. Well, the problem is that you have United States as red and blue. Okay? So when Democratic Party is ruling, and Obama is nice, but when it comes to the Republican guy, like George Bush, for example, he would love to implement such a thing. All right? Got it? I would ask you to just, in the summary of this, just write a brief paragraph about the unfairness of the National Defense Authorization Act. Just write a small paragraph so I make sure that you look it up and understand that.
Wait, what's it called?
National Defense Authorization Act.
It's gonna be on Monday.
Yeah. National Defense. It has many things as well. So, but the item that I'm interested in is the item of lifetimes prison sentence to American citizens without trial, without an evidence. And it's called NDAA. Okay? So look it up, and then you will see that we're moving towards number four. So United States is walking away from number three into number four. You got it? This is a third world country. Like third world countries. These are the third world countries. alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. يلا ست البنات they have a different school.